Well, I'm thankful for all who have led us in worship this morning. I'm thankful for all of you that are here as well. As we continue this sermon series, A Healing Savior, with a text from Mark 7 that is somewhat strange, one that is not taught or preached on very often, but an important text for this series and for our church. He's the boss. 71 years old now, the pride of New Jersey. He's released 20 studio albums, many backed by the acclaimed E Street Band. He's won 20 Grammy Awards, 2 Golden Globes, an Academy Award, and a Tony. He's Bruce Springsteen, the boss. I was casually acquainted with some of the major hits, Born to Run, Dancing in the Dark, Born in the USA, but I would not have considered myself a fan. When I was in college, we watched the documentary, The Promise, Darkness on the Edge of Town. It's a 2-hour-long film telling the story of Bruce and his band creating the dream for their next album. Bruce is in the midst of a contractual and legal complications with his former manager. And as a result of a signed contract, the band is prohibited from professionally recording or touring for 3 years. Born to Run is at the top of the charts at this point, but the band can't tour. They wanted to write new material, but they had no professional way of documenting the music that they created. So they locked themselves in a New Jersey beach house and created music. They recorded everything, reels and reels of audio. And as the hearer, you can hear everything. You can hear the hum of amplifiers. You can hear Bruce coughing and drinking water. You can hear the bass player tuning. You can hear the saxophone player changing his reed. You can hear spit valves being released, bottles clanking over, laughter and pats on the back. You hear music being created. You'd hear an album coming to life and being made. In Mark's gospel, the writer shares a story that is often overlooked. In Mark 7, this famous story of the Syrophoenician woman and her daughter's healing overshadows the story that follows next, a healing of a man who cannot hear or speak. This healing story, in typical Mark and fashion, tells many details, but it moves quickly. The gospel reading tells us about real events, but these events pale in comparison to the theological truth that is shared through this story. In this story about a man who cannot hear or speak, listen to these words and hear the gospel coming to life. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went by the way of Sidon toward the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. He took him aside in private, away from the crowd, and he put his fingers in his ears, and he spat and touched his tongue. And then looked up to heaven, he sighed and said, Ephphatha, that is, be opened. And immediately his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Then Jesus ordered them to tell no one. But the more he ordered them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. They were astounded beyond measure, saying, He has done everything well. He even makes the deaf to hear and the mute to speak. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of this word. Jesus heals a man that is impaired in speech. And in ancient society, healing was debatably more important than seeing. While most people could not read, the way to share the news, the way to build relationships, the way to understand the world was through hearing. Hearing your neighbors, hearing your family, your town, hearing the news, the gossip, the tales of history and of lands far off. Hearing is especially important in faith life in the first century for Jewish persons. The scriptures were not readily available, and most people were illiterate. Instead, the faithful would gather to listen to the scriptures together. The Shema from Deuteronomy, one of the core tenets and confessions of faith for the Hebrew people, begins with, "Hear, O Israel." Literally, the word Shema, the first word, means hear. Eugene Boring states that the inability to hear was a more serious and isolating affliction than in visually oriented modern cultures. Being hard of hearing would have been horrific and isolating. There would be no hearing assistance through technology, no sign language interpreter, very little or limited signage for your assistance, but instead, those who were hard of hearing would fall into the cracks of society. Those without community, those longing for connection, those missing out. But this deaf man does not seek out Jesus on his own. Instead, a group of people bring him to Jesus, for they knew his reputation as a healer. Interestingly, Jesus is not in familiar territory, though. The scripture lesson says that he returned through Tyre, through Sidon, in the Sea of Galilee, to the Decapolis. Essentially, Jesus went north to return south by going east. The directions are less important than the intention of where we are going. The gospel shares these details, but this example does not tell us to follow the dotted line of Jesus moving on the map, but instead to pay attention to Jesus' destination, a Gentile place, and likely a Gentile man in need of healing. The details from this healing story are especially physical. Jesus takes the man away from the group. He puts his fingers in the man's ears. He spits and touches the man's tongue. He looks up to heaven and sighs deeply. And then he says the mysterious word, Ephphatha. Now, throughout this sermon series and throughout the New Testament, there are no shortage of healing stories and no sort of typical healing narrative. There are some things in this healing story that are out of the ordinary, though. Jesus heals by many methods, and speaking words and healing from a distance, sometimes touching and even spitting on a couple of occasions. But Jesus heals in a very strange manner this time. Why would Jesus choose to heal this man by this method? Couldn't Jesus have just spoken the words and been done? It's important to remember that in the ancient world, physical ailments and illnesses were closely linked to being consequences of sin. We know this to be false, but it's a misunderstanding and a false equivalency that still exists even today. This man has known distance and silence all of his life, and Jesus sees beyond his infirmity. Jesus sees something beyond the physical and the obvious, and I would interpret Jesus' next actions as his way to connect with this man in needing healing. In being hard of hearing, touch is a meaningful way of connection for Jesus and this man, and Jesus touches the man's ears. A strange place for one person to touch another, and probably more strange for a person who is hard of hearing. Jesus does this in a way to honor the man's other senses. Jesus does not do this on stage, but he takes the man off to the side, away from the group that is gathered, away from the attention and the onlookers, and it's there that Jesus spits and touches the man's tongue. Spit reportedly can have some healing elements, but in human mouths, it's often overrun with bacteria. Some have wondered about Jesus' physical actions to overcome this man's inability to hear and to speak. But ultimately, we remember that these actions are not part of a mystical spell. This is not a process to be repeated like a recipe. These actions and the process do not heal. It is Jesus that heals. Jesus looks up to heaven and says the word Ephphatha. This might be a sign to that non-hearing man that Jesus is indeed healing by God's power. Ephphatha is not an incantation. It's not a magical nonsense word like abracadabra or hocus pocus. But instead, it is an Aramaic word that those gathered would have understood, meaning be opened. The man's ears immediately are opened. He's able to hear and his tongue is loosened to speak plainly. Maybe you've had this experience or something similar before. Before serving here, I was ministering at a church in Waynesboro, and quite often, for various reasons, I would need to cross Afton Mountain. In driving on the highway up and down the mountain, gaining and losing altitude, it would sometimes take a little bit of time for my ears to adjust, for my ears to pop. I remember one Saturday afternoon driving across the mountain, and no matter what I did, I could not get my right ear to pop. I yawned and I chewed gum. I even tried holding my nose and blowing. I could hear just fine out of my left ear, but my right ear was all stopped up. And other than this minor hearing loss, I had other symptoms that went along with it. I felt like my equilibrium was off, and honestly, I felt very self-conscious. The next morning, my ear was not any better, but it was time for church. I had a hard time hearing the music, and I did not feel like singing out for the hymns and songs at church. I had a hard time talking and connecting with people, and honestly, I was exhausted from explaining the situation. So I decided to go off on my own. I closed myself in my office on that Sunday morning. I wondered if I would need to see a specialist. I wondered if this was a sign of something more serious, and honestly, I was scared. I closed my eyes and I prayed, and I heard silence. And I also thought about how long it had been since I had heard absolutely nothing at all. This man lived in that silence, in isolating, nerve-wracking, boundary creating, misunderstanding, amplifying, God distancing silence. Silence can fuel whatever baseline emotions are in a room. If there is tension, silence can bring things to a conflict. If there is confusion, silence can take things off the rails. But if there is understanding, silence can add a peaceful shalom. As Wayne Oates says about the presence of God in pastoral counseling, silence can uncover what speech can hide. It was time for our second worship service of the day, and I remember realizing as I walked down the hallway, I could hear the chatter of friends, of laughter and pats on the back. I could hear the sizzle of the extra coffee burning on the burner. I could hear the choir rehearsing and warming up. I could hear again. And suddenly I didn't feel so scared and so alone. When the man who cannot hear or speak is healed, we hear a gospel word for all of us. When this man is reunited with community, we hear the truth amplified through a loudspeaker. When the silence is broken for this man and his ears are open to hear, the call goes out to all of us that have blocked our ears or cannot hear God's voice. When this man is able to speak clearer, the charge is given to all who hear the good news of Jesus Christ that we are compelled to hear it and share it. This man is liberated from one way of living to walking in newness of life because of being touched and hearing the word of Christ. when Springsteen and his band were recording in that New Jersey beach house. They had no professional person that was mixing their audio levels. In the documentary, Bruce talks about the attempts at recording that were ruined because of his poor technique. He wanted everything to be loud and at full volume. The guitars, oh, they had to be full. The vocals, we need those to shine. The saxophone, that's got to cut through too. The drums, bring it up. What was left was a catastrophe, a cacophony of sound, more like a battle than a band, more like a skirmish than a symphony. The melody is drowned out by the harmony, and the background vocals upstage the words of the chorus. When we have our ears open to hear, we have to listen for God's voice. With our ears open to listen for God's revelation, we cannot give equal opportunity to all things. We must give priority to God's voice, to the words that uplift, to the words that bring healing, to the words that inspire us to love and care for others. There are many voices that speak into our lives. Some are valuable and tell us the good news, and some pervert our insecurities into damaging messages to our detriment. We have to be able to recognize the gospel and God's truth when it is spoken and tune our ears to that frequency. We have to know the voice of love in order to love others. We have to know the voice of hope to stand resilient. We have to know the voice of justice to stand up for the marginalized. We have to know God's voice for our own tongues to be freed to share the good news. We cannot give what we have not received. And in order to do that, we cannot give equal attention to all things. Some voices in our lives need to be muted. Voices that say that you don't matter. The soundtrack that plays that says you're not good enough because of something that you did in your past. The broken record that says that you'll fail at this because you failed at everything else. The first voice that calls out into the nothingness at creation calls out to us as well. Be open. When we hear God's voice in divine revelation, it grants us a purpose and a plan. We hear the words of Christ challenging us to a path of self-denial and service to all of humanity. We hear the Spirit breathing into the body of Christ and calling us to praise and to transformation. When we hear the voice of truth, we can speak with confidence about what God has done. In order to speak God's truth, we have to hear God's divine revelation. At the time, Jesus insists that the people that are present not share the details, for the full story had not yet been revealed. The messianic secret was needed for Jesus to continue his ministry, for the miracles and healings and parables and the other aspects of Jesus' life were put into perspective at the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ. When we hear God's voice, it is healing for us as well today. And our tongues are not tied, but instead we are compelled to share the goodness and the saving grace of Jesus Christ. Maybe you think you've never heard God's voice before. I think thoroughly and believe that God still speaks to us, although I don't think it often is a booming voice from the heavens. Instead, to listen for God's voice, I would recommend finding a place of peace and solitude, being pulled away from the crowd, if you will, and relaxing and asking the question, God, how can I use my gifts to serve you? In that moment, ignore any negativity or worry or self-consciousness that may bubble up and keep listening for that voice of love. God will speak in the stillness if we open our ears to listen. God will unstop our ears if we are willing and able to slow down. must be listening and give priority to God's voice amid the myriad of others in our lives. For he has done all things well. And the same God that gave hearing to the deaf and voice to the voiceless gives us ears to hear and voices to share the love of Jesus Christ. Amen. Maybe you have never put your faith in Christ. Maybe you have never heard God's voice before. And as our musicians come back up, our senior pastor, Dr. Noel Schoonmaker, will be up front to receive those who have decisions to follow Jesus Christ. And for those that are watching on the live stream, we would welcome your commitments as well. You can use the Contact Us feature on the church website or call the church office. Through this closing song and throughout this busy week, I pray that you would listen for God's voice in your life. The voice that heals, the voice that seeks God's guidance, that we can have this for the living of our days. Let us recognize the voices that fail to satisfy and that draw in on the one that brings healing. The voice that gave hearing to the deaf and voice to the voiceless. And hearing God's voice, that we may have the opportunity to respond back in grace in following Jesus Christ with our lives. May that be so.